Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Joss Eldridge, who I am just incredibly excited to dig into some of his podcasting playbooks. He's helped a ton of people build very successful shows that help them generate lots and lots of revenue. So that said, Joss, thank you so much for being here.
It's awesome to be here. And by the way, we will not say 3, 2, 1 because good things happen, but maybe not necessarily for the recording.
Yeah, we may have had to restart this recording 4 times, but it's fine. We're here. We're going to have a good time. That said, I've got a couple of really basic questions just to dig into. So when people really start to dig into actually building out a show, again, a lot of shows fail after the first 7 episodes. Yeah. So I'm just curious from your perspective, like, why is it that a lot of these shows just don't ever make it past episode 7?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the reality. Like, I think if you look at any big YouTuber and you kind of look at the point where they started to get traction, it's usually after they are at it for quite some time. Most people do not have the stomach for something like that. And also, I think that there's a lack of understanding of where the value can be had in podcasting, which is, of course, what we're going to be talking about today. Because again, I think most people have these ideas that they're going to start a podcast, they're going to get going, they're going to build an audience, and then they're going to get a ton of value from that audience. And what I'd like to tell you is that that is one way to grow a business and to kind of grow the business of your podcast. But what I would argue is that for most of us, for whom high value relationships are exceptionally important to the strength of our business, right? Who you know, who is in your network, who are you friends with, who are you collaborating and partnering with? Like, if you can say, oh yeah, no, I definitely have a Dream 100 list, then what I would say to you is, what we're going to be talking about today is your podcast is the ultimate networking tool. It is the ultimate make friends button, right? And so if you're trying to, or your hopes are to grow an audience and get value out of the audience, that's great. But maybe we should consider that a secondary benefit while you use podcasting in a way to really serve your industry, escalate your authority, and build a ton of high value relationships, which can affect sales and business development unlike anything else on the planet.
Yeah, and I love the shift in perspective that the goal isn't actually to build this massive audience, but it's to build great relationships. And again, I've seen some of the stats that have come out that the booking rate on average is anywhere from 70 to 80% of the people you ask to join a podcast will say yes. Mm-hmm. So if you just shift that perspective on the measurement of success, it's no longer how do I get hundreds and thousands and millions of downloads, but more how do I build great one-to-one relationships and just use the podcast as the vehicle. So I'm curious, as you're then thinking through, okay, I do have relationships that I want to build, and these people seem really far out of reach. Like, how are you actually reaching out to them and getting people booked on a show?
Yeah, no, that's easy. So here's the reality. It's amazing who you can get to show up to an award show when they're being recognized. Now, it's really, really critical that you have a couple of things in place before you even attempt to follow this go-giver way of doing business. Again, we are absolutely leading in generosity. So you must have, number one, a little bit of authority. right? So if you look completely fly by night, it's just going to be much more difficult. So if you can spend just a little bit of time on your branding, just a little bit of time on who you are, because especially if you're reaching out to folks that are like sixes and sevens in your industry, and you look like a one, that's going to be really, really difficult. So the idea is that in podcast guest inviting, if you're a couple of levels separated, you're going to do just fine. If you're three or four levels separated, it's going to be pretty challenging. So I would tell you, you probably want to work on your branding and your presence just a little bit if you want to make this a little bit easier. It's not a deal breaker. But what I would also argue is that if you are going to be and look like a one or two, then you need to set your expectations accordingly. Aim for the threes and the fours. Okay, that said, number two, and this is absolutely critical, you must have noble intent. If you are reaching out because your sole intent is just to pitch and sell at these people, you are going to fail so hard. And not only are you going to fail so hard, people are going to hate you if you are in any way, not upfront about your intentions. People know what your intentions are. So I say that as an important warning that you have to go into this with a good heart, right? You have to do this because you truly want to recognize and celebrate other people. And you also know the value of leading in service and generosity. So if you can do that, and again, this is straight up go-giver stuff, right? This is not a transactional relationship you're asking for. This is a give first and being okay with whatever the outcome is. Now, that said, you can apply a lot of deliberateness here. You can lead in the dance here. And that's, you know, again, what all we've obsessed on. I've done this over 2,000 times. We've launched somewhere between 200 and 250 podcasts in doing this. So we've really kind of figured out some of those meticulous customer journey or it's a guest journey paths that lead to, a very elegant presence for the guest where they just like you, right? And that's the goal is not to get them to say, I want to buy your stuff. The goal, if there's anything, would be, if you have an intention, would be to evoke in your friend who's the guest some sentiment along the lines of, oh, good, Mason, now I have a friend who does what you do. That's the goal here, because if you can aim for that, everyone's going to like you. And those who are in market will engage. Those who are not in market, we're never going to engage to begin with. So don't even bother asking. Just allow, it's like dating, right? You know if there's chemistry or not. Like if you went to a mixer and you were hanging out in the VIP lounge and everyone was relaxed, no one was selling, you would do just fine in that environment. Most of us would, right? If you're just talking with people, getting to know each other, just quiet conversations in what I like to call a whisper network, right? That's the kind of energy that you should be able to enjoy day in, day out. Now, I'll just close with this is, this, what I'm describing, this way of doing business is so much more enjoyable for those people who don't necessarily like to sell at people. Like they get kind of weirded out, you know, feeling like they got to do all these weird closing tactics and stuff. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but if you don't like, conventional lead gen and just kind of bro-y sales energy, this is, go read The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. And then, please allow me to continue to inspire you on this path, because it's such an enjoyable way to get to. And we haven't even talked about what happens when you kind of stick in this for a while, but it gets really good the more you do this.
And I love the just recognition of noble intent. I mean, I've been on plenty of shows in which I actually did a 30-minute time block. It was an 8-minute interview and then 22 minutes of pitching me on their thing.
Oh, that's evil.
And it was infuriating.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Here's what I'll tell you. It's a small world in the podcast guesting and hosting world. We know every single PR firm on the planet, and PR people and podcast guest agencies communicate with each other. If you are a podcaster that is doing some kind of evil bait and switch type thing, word will get around and you will be destroyed. And in fact, I was just talking with a client of mine who had a couple of bad experiences. Like that is, Mason, that's akin to going into this mixer where everybody's just there to like relax, you know, listen, we had a long day of events and stuff like that. Now we're just chilling. That would be akin to you showing up with a bunch of business cards in your hand, running around, slapping business cards in people's hand and start going, hey, so you need to buy my thing. Like that person would be so persona non grata in that room. Like everyone would be like, yeah, stay away from that person. Just because you're hiding out behind your computer screen does not give you liberty to be at that level of uncouth. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You're playing the short game and you will absolutely fail. It's not worth it. Just play the long game. Go read The Go-Giver, then come back to me. Or go ahead and get your nose bloodied for 6 months and then come back and learn, you know, what our clients are. I mean, it's not that difficult to get 6 and 7 figures in sales anymore if you know and build relationships with the right people. If you're playing the short game, you're never going to be able to get off that hamster wheel. You're going to constantly be trying to replenish your quote unquote sales leads, and you're going to be so frustrated, you're going to hate it. I'm sorry, but that's some strong language. I don't normally speak at that kind of level of directness, but yeah, this is, you can't mess with that. People don't like being tricked. There's one thing we hate more than a bro-y salesy person. It's someone who is being patently dishonest about their intention. That's pretty crummy stuff. Sorry. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now. I normally am a much happier, nicer person. you hit me on some spots. I'm a little niche-y about.
No, I love it. So again, when we're thinking about going and reaching out to somebody, I also liked the recognition of kind of where you are within the context of your industry. Like prime example, I'm in the marketing space. But if I ask Gary Vaynerchuk to come join my show, highly unlikely. He is of exponentially higher authority than I currently am. But if I ask some of my friends that have like 100,000 or 150,000 followers on LinkedIn, I've got 20. But so they're still have a higher authority than I do, but it's not out of reach.
Right.
So I think that's a helpful framing for people as they think through who they can likely easily start to get on the show.
Yeah, to me, this is no different than like PR. So like if you want to get on the Today Show, you can get there, but it's probably going to take you a few years. And the reason I say that is because if you haven't done a lot of big national stuff, you're not going to get on the Today Show. And if you haven't done the major market stuff, you're not going to get on the national stuff. If you haven't done, if you haven't done local stuff, you're not going to get on the national stuff. I mean, it's just, so this is what I've been in the media over 2,500 times. It's like you have to stair step your way up and you have to earn your way up. Stop shortcutting the system. Stop with the big deal-itis. The big deal is the accumulation of all of the small deals. If you could just honor, the industry, then the industry will reward you. And what I would argue is that generosity just happens to be the express elevator to increased authority. So if you're looking to rise up, leverage platform. And, again, that's kind of what that's all I obsess on is kind of working with people, kind of helping them build that authority so that they can increase the rate and quality of the relationships that they build that are going to be good for business.
Okay. So we get somebody on the show and they have a great time. We've now started to build that relationship, but I've seen it happen often where you start the relationship on the show, but then there's no follow-up, there's no follow-through. And as a result, the relationship kind of fizzles out. So I'm curious for you, how do you recommend people actually maintain and foster those relationships with their guests?
What a huge missed opportunity. Like someone's like literally right here with you. Now, this might feel scary, right? Because it's kind of like almost like feeling like you're asking someone out on a date or something like that, and you're worried about rejection. But here's what I'll let you know, right? If you have not abuse that relationship at all. Like you've just shown up in full service, collaborative energy, give, right? There's just like, don't, I don't even believe in a jab, 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 right hook. Like I just like to me, I'll say a couple things here on this topic. First off, generosity is the language that leaders use to recognize one another. Scarcity is the language of the amateur. So if you maintain your language in the energy of generosity, you're not going to have any problem with this. Here's how I extend the invitation. So imagine that you're at a conference, you're speaking to a group as part of a panel. Okay, if you've ever done that before, chances are very good you're going to get to know the other panelists a little bit. right? During that experience. So you have this great experience together of being in service, right? There's this just awesome energy that happens when two people come together in service of something else, something bigger than themselves, right? So you have that experience. And then afterwards, if you were to just simply say, that was really great. Listen, I really liked what you had to share. Let's grab coffee or let's get together sometime. I'd love to see if there's something we should be doing together, if I can help in any way. And that's really all your invitation is. Here's what I can tell you, having extended that invitation more than 2,000 times, everybody says yes. I've had only one person in 2,000 invites ever say, that's okay, I don't want to talk to you. Which is fine, you know, because that's, I'd rather know that up front, right? So one out of 2,000. So that should let you know. I don't know what the percentage is on that. Someone else can help me out with the math on that 0.05% of rejection rate. I'm okay with those numbers. So then you get back together. And again, your goal is not to, you know, it's you want to show up. Like it's for example, you know, my friend who owns a landscaping company. So we're together hanging out some neighborhood thing or whatever. And this is like right after we moved here. And we just got to talking, you know, and just like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? And she's like, you know, she's not in market for what I do. And that's okay. But she says, well, I own a landscaping company. And I said, well, that's great. I'll just hire you guys then because you're my friend, right? It's that kind of energy. And she goes, well, we're a little bit more expensive. I said, that's okay. I'd much rather hire my friends, even if it means paying a little bit more, right? Leaders who like each other, Mason, well, they will move heaven and earth to try to do and help one another in business. This is what, you know, truly big leaders in business know. This is people who do a lot of big ticket stuff. This is what they know. It's relationship first, and then you go from there. Now, there are secondary benefits that could come. Now, an engagement we generally see happens about 15 to 25% of the time on our clients' big ticket stuff. But then you have secondary conversion opportunities. Downsells, not today, but down the road, maybe there's an opportunity. Collaborations, introductions are nearly always going to happen. If you're just talking about it and you suggest it in a very just normal, how a friend would suggest those types of things. Again, try to find ways that you can serve them first, maintain this pattern of generosity. But again, by all means, do not enter this relationship in a transactional way. It really should always be continuing of adding to. Now, again, if you're working with higher level leaders, they are not going to let you, like there's also that law of reciprocity, right? True leaders are going to honor that law of reciprocity. They are almost always going to ask, what's something I can do for you? How can I help you? And then, you know, you might shrug your shoulders and say, well, I just out of curiosity, I don't know how you, like, you know, I've done this, right? Where it's like, I don't know how you select guests to be a guest on your show, but if I'm, you know, if I could throw my hat in the ring, I would be honored, right? And something like that, maybe. Like if I do have, you know, some idea of something that would be valuable, but I've gotten a lot of good stuff as a result of, you know, again, demonstrating that I don't have anything immediately in return, but I'm always open to doing more good stuff together.
Yeah, I specifically want to call it the referral approach. I mean, that's something that I've actually done with Scrappy ABM.
Yeah.
Because I invite people that on that are experts. They're not actually viable customers for me most of the time. But the framing that I've used that it's worked really, really well is I love that we're on the same wavelength on how we think. And I'm also very confident you're slammed because you're building awesome things. If you ever have friends that need your help, but you don't have the time to do it, like, would you just be willing to consider throwing my name in the hat? And that exact language has generated lots of referrals for our guests, because again, I bolster their confidence, say, I love how you think, you're amazing. Your friends may need your help though, and you are busy. I have the time. I'd love to help them. And like that simple framing has done wonders for our pipeline. Yeah. So again, simple things like that are just, because at the end of the day, then I also deliver for their friends.
Yep.
And I don't make them a liar. So it only works if you actually deliver.
Well, it's true that 74% of business buyers prefer to do business with a salesperson that's been personally introduced to them. That's their preference. That's their number one way of wanting to, who do I hire? It's referred by a friend. It's someone, it's again, it's the Whisper Network. And again, that's exceptionally easy to do. So again, what I would argue is consistency and predictability with building high value relationships is going to be the most important thing that I think most founders should be doing on behalf of the business. And you're absolutely right that, like, for example, like when we facilitate an introduction or whatever, like I tell them, I say, listen, we're going to get you in the neighborhood. I do not know if this person is going to engage with you, but what I do know is they likely know at least 5 to 10 people just like themselves. And when asked, you know, again, it's, you know, if you could get one degree of separation away, you're moving, right? You got to stay active in that. So again, to our business founder friend that's listening right now, just keep working on those relationships, because eventually you get to a point where it will be game, set, match for you. And you just don't have to do any. You'll be 100% inbound. You always have opportunities and deals falling in your lap. It's because of the year or years of investment that you paid into your industry. You get to a point where you are not able to outgive the industry. But it requires with you planting those seeds first, and where you plant your seeds is not necessarily where you reap your harvest, but we keep on planting everywhere.
I love it. Josh, again, thank you so much for joining today and kind of helping people to rethink how they should approach podcasting. It's more a relationship builder and a recognition that, yes, there are things you could do that help generate pipeline in the short term, but truly, if you want to have outsized returns, it takes patience and it's the long game. So if people want to find you, where can they find you?
Yeah. And I teach, if you want to see some more data on this, I don't need an email address. I don't need you to opt in or whatever, but my website is www.up.com. And I'm always looking for great podcast guests as well. I have over 100,000 on social. I'd love to share your story of success if you're a business leader. Mason, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. And everybody, thank you so much for listening in. We'll see you in the next one. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.